What is going on, you absolute legends? I hope you're having an amazing Thursday, and I hope you're psyched for a massive fitness-packed weekend. This is episode 10. No, it's not. It's episode 111. Episode 10. What's he on about? Episode 111 of the Bosu podcast. This week, I was joined by Keith O'Malley Farrell, who is the founder of the physical training company Dubai. And they run the Training Room Dubai, which is a circuit training group that they've set up recently. Keith and I occasionally bump into each other at various industry events. We recently both attended an Oxygen Advantage workshop, which was run by Rosa Donovan, who we are going to do a podcast with Rose. That was a very interesting course, and then stuff that you guys are going to start seeing us use a lot more in the gym. Keith is an anatomy and rehab pro, lots of formal education in the area and lots of experience in that field, having worked with professional sports teams, having worked with the military, working with a lot of trauma patients, and that's kind of his niche. His area of expertise is working with people who have movement deficiencies and or are coming back from traumatic injuries. So it was really cool to have other coaches in from different pockets of the fitness industry, because it just opens up your eyes and shares the different perspectives of different coaches. If you only ever speak to people that are doing the exact same thing as you, you're kind of cutting yourself off to learning new things and discovering new stuff. Keith's a really intelligent guy, so it was a really interesting conversation for me to have with him, and I'm sure you guys will agree that there was a lot of takeaways from this and just kind of different approaches that different coaches in different sectors of the industry are using. A couple of cool things that I took away for it were some good goal setting and mindset tips, and just to hear his development as a coach, going from being a clinical physician or wanting to be a clinical physician back into PT, and now how he works with his clients now. Obviously a very experienced guy and really knows what he's talking about. There's definitely a couple of really cool pieces that I'm going to take away and start using. So yeah, enjoy episode 111 of the Base Food Pod. Have an amazing weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy. Good afternoon. Well, welcome to Base Food Podcast, episode 111. I hope what will be a fun episode for you guys this week. I'm sitting with Keith O'Malley. Keith O'Malley Farrell?
Yeah.
That's a very Irish full name. How you doing, Keith?
I'm good, thank you. Just fresh off the gym floor for...
You've just been put through your paces?
Yeah, 30 rounds of, I don't even remember,
burpees,
rows, and
shuttle
runs.
Run.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And
my
rowing.
Second ever CrossFit session.
Yeah, someone who knows you saying you're not into the CrossFit too much.
I think back in the day, so I'm an old boy of the industry now.
Okay.
My views have evolved and matured and are more accepting of, as long as everybody's just doing what they want to do,
yeah,
just get on and do it. I think CrossFit's have also evolved into, like, it's now, people know what it is.
Right.
It's like, if you're an adult, don't take up rugby if you've never played rugby before.
Fair point.
Do you know? Because you're going to get,
yeah,
you're going to do something wrong. It's going to happen.
I recently took up basketball, rolled my ankle last week.
For the first time you've taken it up?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Played as a kid, like, very, I basically have no idea how to play basketball. And we were like, let's play basketball. I was like, yeah, let's do it. But I'm, yeah, suffering now.
Yeah, I think if you're going to a rugby pitch, you're going to go into things wrong, sure, and mess it up. And you're going to try, you're going to give it 100% because that's what you're used to. And I think now CrossFit has established itself as, like, it's not for the faint-hearted. So
agreed.
If you're going to join a CrossFit group, you should have some level of athleticism. I think people know that now.
Yeah, I think what's cool as well is the evolution's become, it was designed originally as a lot of military personnel and a lot of, like, first responders, where it became a very rigorous training program to get people who are in shape, in better shape. And it's kind of gone full circle where it's turned into a sport, and now you've got obviously this elite CrossFit game side of it. But then there's this whole other culture of trying to make it more accessible to the general population. And it is still really intense, even the most dulled down versions, just because of the nature of the movements and the complexity of the skills. But I think it is, like you said, people understand that it is tough, and if you are going to sign up for it, this is the kind of criteria. And even myself, is I've gone, well, what do you want to get out of training? A lot of people come to me, I want to do CrossFit because I want to get in shape. It's like, probably not the best way to get in shape. If you want to do CrossFit, do CrossFit, but there are much safer and healthier ways to get in shape. And I'm, like you said, I've gone full circle with this the life cycle of CrossFit, and I'm like, yeah, it has a purpose, and if you do enjoy it, it's great. But then it is great if that's what you enjoy. Yeah. If you want to train for health and fitness, then there's different ways of doing it. So
yeah, I mean, I was out there for an hour and a half, and the only barbell I saw taken out was a guy doing bench press in the corner by himself. Like, it's
gone, Simon.
There was just body weight, just rows, runs. Like, that's easy. That's great stuff. And CrossFit gives you freedom as a coach to be creative.
Well, that's what it is for my training as well. The reason I enjoy it is because I want to go for a 10K run every other day, or every other week, or I haven't run 10K for about 2 years. But just the freedom to be able to, I want to work on body weight. Yeah. I want to do some bench press. I want to do some squat. I want to do some weightlifting. I think, and the longer I do it, recently I've fallen out of it and I've been like, yeah, I don't want to do all the really aggressive CrossFit stuff, but I still just enjoy having the freedom of training whatever I want to train for that day.
Yeah, and from a coaching perspective, from a coaching perspective, one of my bugbears used to be that I always felt it was too easy to become a CrossFit coach, weekend here, weekend there. But then somebody put me in my place, or I heard it elsewhere as a third party, it's very easy to become a coach in the fitness industry in general.
True.
Like, you just do a night course, yeah, and now you're suddenly given the mantle of, right, there's somebody with back pain, there's someone with knee pain, go.
Yeah, you're
be
right.
The expert and change their life. Like, you're 2 months out of a level one, whatever it is, certificate course. So the bar to entry in general is quite low. I don't think that's CrossFit's fault. But the other thing as well, like, looking at those circuit classes where you have, take the ones in Dubai without naming names, it's a very narrow, from a coach's perspective, it's a very narrow structure where your only real chance to be creative is like your interaction with the people.
Yeah.
Right? The program is done for you. There's a head coach somewhere and they decide, like, they spit it out. This is the workout for today. Now, you on the gym floor, go do the thing. Whereas with CrossFit, and like, it's the same. It's week after week. It's stations on a circuit, or it's treadmill, rower, body weight thing.
Yeah.
So you as a coach, eventually, where are you getting your craft from? Like, where are you getting, like, as a chef, where are you getting to put your spice into the dish?
100%.
And what CrossFit definitely allows is, like, right, you have a go. Here's the main coach will do the first part of the session, and then, well, you run the last bit and just completely own it. I think that's really important for coaches to stay. It's what coaching is about, you know. It's about being creative, whereas people just think it's about telling people, this is the science, do the science.
Yeah.
The science doesn't work for everybody.
Agreed.
So you've got to be able to adapt it, and then you've got to be a tough coach with this person on this side of the room, and a real soft, squishy, empathetic coach with that person at the same time.
Yeah. You know? I think is a skill you would develop in a program if you were coaching a program that was written for you. But I think you're right, there's a lot missing if you're not understanding the limitations of each person and how to overcome those and develop and adapt programs that can suit different people. And I think, like, so I write the programming for here, is the hardest part, or not the hardest part, one of the most challenging parts is going, is this going to be hard enough for the fittest person in the room, but still accessible for the least fit person in the room, and other modifications we can make to these programs and stuff like that. So yeah, I definitely agree. I know a lot of coaches that have gone from being in this CrossFit coaching environment to an environment where they're just delivering cheerleading, and it confuses me, it baffles me how they've gone from being in quite an engaging coaching environment to a very much like, you're just gonna shout at this person for this long on this thing. And I don't get that personally, but again, that's not my
and I don't think the coach necessarily understands where that leads, and that just leads to being disheartened. You don't get to feel any sort of self sort of actualization that you are impacting this person or this group of people. You're at the top of the class, clapping your hands, watching the clock, or you're counting reps, or you're sitting on a bike at the top of a spinning class, just shouting at people, just trying to be their entertainment.
Yeah.
And like, there is a place for those charismatic people, but if you want to be a real coach, if you want to delve into actually, right, I need to figure out how to help that one person who seems to be struggling with that one thing. And also then you've got people who struggle differently. This person on one side struggles with the back posture, that person struggles with knee pain.
Yeah.
The adaptation is not just, okay, if you can't do this exercise, then do this one.
Of course.
Because that's a knee and that's a back.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit different.
Yeah, for sure. So we kind of just jumped straight into that then. Who are you, Keith? What is it you do? What's your background? Just give us a bit of a summary on...
Originally, so I'm a failed rugby attempted professional, if you can make sense of that sentence. At 21, everything stopped. No rugby career. The academic, I didn't get the letter in the post back then that you needed to get to move on to the Irish set up the next year. And my university exams, I missed the grade to progress by 0.5%. So I ran away to Australia for a year and realized I need to sort my life out. Went back to university, well, went back to Dublin, did a couple of courses, originally from Dublin, grew up in Dublin. Went back there and did a couple of diplomas in like personal training, sports massage, sports, I can't remember, sports injury, something else. And that got me to university in the UK, sport rehab degree in St. Mary's. Graduated, went to work in professional football for a couple of years, then did a couple of years with the British military, rehabbing guys that were coming back from Afghanistan in 2012, 2013.
Cool.
And then came over to Dubai to set up a injury clinic on the side of a sports performance gym that was downtown called Fast Athletic Training behind.
I remember Fast, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. And that essentially, so my view was when I was 18, got a job in a gym where I met your good friend and client, Cara, the super long Brennan.
Super lungs and sure.
Super lungs. Met her there actually, just as a random in that gym. But I realized pretty quick I didn't want to be a PT. There's no career in it. I'm not doing this. I'm running away. Ran away, went to uni, got a job in clinical setting, was in the clinics for a couple of years, came over to Dubai. The very first day my old boss was like, right, we need you to PT. And I was like, okay, fine, because my job is to set up this clinic. And then I realized after like 6 months of researching and trying to figure out how to set this up, there's this thing called the DHA, and the DHA was very much, you need clinical governance, you need to have like male waiting area, female waiting area, like changing rooms, wash basins, blah, blah, blah. The gym just didn't have that. So I was thrust back into the PT world. And then a couple of years into that job, a bunch of us left, set up the physical training company, and we've been just blagging it ever since, just working out of our back pockets, just bouncing around, trying to find a home, trying to put food on the table.
But then what you're saying earlier about being coaching, is that rewarding for you? Like, obviously it's not the being the clinical setting that you set off to be in, but having now you're back in the field, so to speak, and working with people, coaching people, is that rewarding? Is this where you want to be, or is this
Also, I think there was a lot of the ego driving the ship, where I was like, I want to be more than a PT. I am more. A PT is just a PT. I want to be more. Whereas now it's like, maybe my ego has been fueled because I own a business. I have another website company that's education company. So I've got a bit more going on than just a 60 hours a week on the gym floor, one-on-one trainer.
Yeah.
So maybe that progression has calmed me on that one. But I've fallen into this little niche of pain and injuries, but also complex trauma. So like people in car crashes who've had two broken femurs and part of their femur has just died with necrosis, and they find their way to me and like they can't even walk, and we've got to figure out from where there is no script as to how to fix this person. Or I have a guy who was in a motorbike accident 30 years ago in South Africa. Within 8 hours his leg was gangrene and his tib anterior was taken out of the front of his shin, and that just means he cannot walk properly, and he's got this completely different gait, and now we're trying to fix that. The thing with injuries, and I realized this with the military, was someone comes in really badly broken, a blast injury or some sort of impact where like whatever you would get in war, and we make no progress for like 3 months.
Okay.
And I feel like the worst at my job, and then all of a sudden the guy comes in after the weekend is like, I played with my kids for the first time of the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, okay.
Win.
And then that would happen, I'd be like, okay, this is the sixth time this has happened, I should have more confidence in myself. The seventh, eighth time it happens, I'm like, oh, this happened again. And even now it's 10, 12 years later, it's still, I'm looking at these people like, I'm not helping this person. What am I doing? Imposter, whatever. And then they come in, this is better. Or I see them, I was like, wait, that is much better. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, God. All right, I'm doing something good. We're making some progress.
And then what the majority of your time now is spent with working with people like that? Like, how much of that do you get to practice an expert? Because that sounds like dealing with people where there is no script and the stuff where you've got to literally just look and adapt and grow. How much practice do you get doing that?
You don't get any practice at this specific person's needs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've never had this before. But the confidence in going, okay, we're just going to have to be real patient. That's, I'm happy I've got that under my belt. I probably, on like my day job would more... would be better described as like, I've got people who are in pain or coming out of pain, back issue, knee issue, and they want to lose a bit of weight. So we have to build a program around A, fixing their pain, fixing their back, and then pushing them like in a few weeks into a training zone without breaking their back or their knee again. So that's the bulk. That's the, and I enjoy that because we do it in a small group setting where there's four or five people in the thing and they all banter off each other, and like it's not just one-on-one. But then you do have these complex issues where I'll have maybe one or two on the go at a time, because there's not that many broken people of that severity in the world. And the ones who can sort of afford to come in and concentrate on it and set the time aside away from work and all that kind of stuff. So but I think what allows me in particular benefit these people is because like I have a very strong understanding of anatomy.
Yeah.
So when I see what's going on with the issue, whatever, the foot drop or the knee drop or the whatever, like we might take this, I might take this person out of a just a simple lunge. They can't lunge. All right, well, let's go all the way over here. Let me strap a band around your foot. Let me pull your foot into this direction. Now this into the, I know that's going to run up into the hip, and then they should say they feel it over there, and then they do. I'm like, okay, let's work on that, because, and it just allows me sort of reverse engineer things, and then that allows me change things on the spot. And I'm lucky enough that all of that history I said, where I did this course and this course and this course and this course from like 18 to 24, they all had anatomy in them.
Right.
So I had my anatomy drilled into me as a student from 18 to 24. And it's easy for me.
Okay.
Like I get it. I know it. I can talk about it forever. Yep. I have an anatomy course online teaching people. And I think that's a massive advantage when it comes to pain and injuries, because it's not just about knowing this is your muscle and it goes from here to here. It's like, right, well, we have to work the biomechanics of it and how this works with that muscle and blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
That's the boring chat, but that all happens in my head like a weird...
like Rain Man almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I think that allows me help these people who just, they cannot find their hip.
So do you, so that's extreme injuries and trauma patients. How hard is it for you to see like general population that don't have any traumatic injuries to work with people just day to day? Because you do a lot of PT and you do a lot of small group, and I'm assuming not all of those are injured. And even I don't have an extensive understanding of anatomy or movement, but looking at people, I'm like, well, that's not right and that's not right. And there's only so many things you can fix in a single session or over the course of time. Is, do you really struggle with that then, looking at the general population of movement as a whole?
So movement, I don't struggle with, but one thing you just said there I want to pull out is really important. There's only so much you can do. There's only so much of an expert you can be.
Yeah.
It's probably taken, probably in the last 2 years, just before the lockdown, I finally was comfortable admitting that I hate nutrition. I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Yeah.
Like, I can talk to you, I've read books on dieting, I've read books on paleo stuff, so I can talk about nutrition to a, like a rudimentary fitness industry level, right? Yeah. I get it. But if you want to sit and go through your macros and your micros, I'm not the guy.
Yeah, same.
Chris works with us, he's the guy.
Okay.
So I will give you to him, and I will be very honest with you. I'm gonna help you with all your aches and pains and all your muscle building, all your strength. Once we wanna talk about diet, please don't ask me about it. Because personally, if you wanna dig into it, like the science is so new. Once you have two experts, and you hear these experts on podcasts, and they talk about vegan diet, carnivore diet, they talk about high carb, low carb. When these PhD level scientists start disputing how the data is collected, for me, it's just, forget it. What's true then?
Exactly.
What's true? Which one are we going for?
Yeah.
And firstly, I think people are very different with their internal biochemistry.
For sure. Right?
And then what they're not talking about is what's the psychological thing behind why that person has that relationship with food. And that's not my job.
No.
And I will talk to clients all day, but when it gets a bit deep and a bit like, oh shit, sorry for cursing.
No, that's all good. Go for it.
That's beyond me. Yeah. You know, I'll do my best, but I can't burden that.
Yeah,
think it's nutrition for the people who really need it. They need to address the cause of, so with pain and stuff, you go after the cause, the biomechanics. So you can fix you can fix the tightness, right? But why is that happening? Well, maybe there's a weakness in the core and the ankle, all that kind of crap. But then with nutrition, what is the psychological cause behind you having that relationship with food? It's not just about, here's a better diet, do it. Do you know? I can't just press control print and say, this is what the science says, do it.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to do it, because they have a different psychological relationship to what's on the page,
yeah,
and what's in the fridge and what they need to buy from the supermarket. So I'm just like, forget it. So I don't do, going back to your question, I try not go with the weight loss. I will help people, because a lot of the actual pain and stuff comes from chronically inflamed.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about food. We have to talk about nutrition from pain perspective, because pro-inflammatory foods spikes up the inflammation, spikes up your sensitivity to everything. And now we're looking at, like, everything's going to hurt if you're banging down wheat, gluten, grains, that whole thing, if you're inflamed. So that has to be a part of it. But with for the people who just want, I want to get from 14% to 9%, stop it. I'm not the guy.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, my, I had this conversation with one of our coaches last week on the podcast, talking about how, as a CrossFit coach, you're a lot like a CrossFit athlete, is you're not an area of expertise in any one specific area, but you're kind of just, like you said, no rudimental parts of each of areas. So like, I'm not, yeah, I could, if someone came and they've got a sore back, then we could look at some movement things and see, oh, we'll try this. And same thing with food. And it was only last week I was having this conversation that I realized, yeah, I'm okay with that. Like, there's people like you who are movement specialists, and there's people like Chris who are nutrition specialists, and there's people who are experts in all these different fields. And for me, I was just like, yeah, that's fine. Like, you've got into this as a jack of all trades coach. Don't expect to be able to go deep into any one specific area. Where to, like, if someone's got a specific need, send them to a coach that can help them out. Yeah. And only last week that I realized this, I was just like, huh. Yeah, it's an interesting position to put you in, because I'd always be like, you'd always think, a couple of years ago, I'd always think, yeah, I could help anyone achieve anything. You'd always want to be able to, and I think that's an ego thing, and being a bit of a male thing, is asking people to help or sending your clients to other people because you know they're a better fit for that person, is like you admitting that you don't know that thing, and that's a hard thing to do until you realize that. No. So there's things that I would be the best person to speak to about, but they'd be very specific to CrossFit things, where I'd be like, yeah, I'm probably the best person that this person can speak to, but I'm more than happy to send it. We've got a girl called Asha who's like you, is a great movement expert, and I'm like, go speak to Asha, or I've got someone who needs to speak to food. We've got a nutritionist person. Go speak to that person, and being okay with like, yeah, I'm not the person for you to fix. I think that's a very important position for me to, or for any coach to realize that they can't fix everybody's problems. There will be specific things that you would be the best person to, but it's not going to be all the time.
Yeah, and I think if it's something, if when you realize that, oh, I don't know about that,
yeah,
you decide to go one of two ways. I'll either learn about it, or I will actively not learn because I'm not interested in it. I'm not going to try and learn because I'm just going to fail. Like, I've read nutrition books. I've no interest in doing an online nutrition course. Finish it. I won't read the stuff. I don't care. So it's better for me, my relationship with the people who I speak to, if I have, and not even, so there's Chris who does his job, but I would still personally think he's not the right support for everybody who needs nutritional support. What if we have a middle-aged woman who's, you know, 110 kilos, husband's stressing her out, kids are stressing her out. Well, I'm going to give her to a 35-year-old male who likes to powerlift. Do you know, that's not, they're not the right connection for each other. So what I need is somebody who understands what a woman in that, who has that experience, would go through. Yeah. So I need like a whole team of people. I need some, like a life coach maybe who knows about nutrition. Right? You probably have to go speak to her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not just about, you're the nutritionist, I'm the pain guy.
For sure.
It's like I would say of all my pain things, back, knees, I'm great at. Shoulders probably would be my weaker with those three.
Okay.
I can do my best, but at some point I'm going to go, uh-oh. Like, yeah. we did a course with Rose, breathing.
Which was amazing.
Like, yeah, Rose O'Donovan from Body Hack. We did a breathing course, and that's so important to pain and kind of cellular nourishment. But I've already sent two people to Rose. I've done the course that we did. I've understood it. I know it, but I'm not equipped to charge and to bill people.
Fully.
Yeah, so I'm like, right, you go to Rose. She'll do the thing. You come back. You'll tell me what you guys spoke about, and I'll monitor it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll actually continue to learn through your experience, and maybe in 2 years, if I get enough like contact points with this skill set, I might improve my own ability. But right now, you go to that, she's the breathing expert. Go to her.
Have you done much of it yourself since then?
I've tried walking the dog, holding my nose, and it's
weird, weird looks.
Yeah, weird looks, and then I just don't look at them.
So
I don't see if they give me a weird look.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've been trying to do it on the assault bike. Doesn't work as well. I think, you know, the running drill we did at the end of the session, the high stress breathing stuff. I tried to do that on the assault bike at the at the end. And I think it's just the amount of muscle contraction and how high your heart rate goes versus trying to do a sprint. You can't hit the same output, or you can't hold your breath, or the panic's way worse.
Yeah, I struggled with that mask. I would consider getting one of those masks and just walking in it. But again, that's probably even weirder than if there's a guy holding his nose.
I used to do a bit of MMA before, and I remember we had Sports Mask was the brand. They had a training mask, and I recently got rid of it because it was gross, but I wish I'd kept it now. And I remember wearing a weight vest and running around with a training vest on in public, and people probably think I'm some sort of terrorist running around in a vest and a gas mask. Full Bane.
I mean, that's another thing that I used to talk negatively about, with like those training masks. I didn't understand 100%. The science. And if you think properly about it, like if you just sit back and breathe and think, somebody in the science world has pitched this idea to the business world, and they've put down a massive investment to create this whole marketing scheme around. So there must be some validity to it. But when you see guys like running around a gym carrying sandbags, it's a bit like, do you really know what you're into, or are you just wearing that because it does look kind of cool?
But I guess that's the same problem that CrossFit has, is you get people that started it and the methodology and the reasons behind it make a lot of sense, but then you get a bunch of cowboy coaches that go and turn it into something stupid that gives it a bad reputation. Whereas when the training mask was developed, it was probably developed by an MMA coach who had a problem with a lot of his guys breathing, that needed to develop some more breathing capacity, and it's just been turned into a tool for people to be a tool with.
Yeah, and it's easy to be the expert in everything, like you said earlier. Like, I'm the expert in everything, and I'm also, I don't like that mask. I'm an expert in the mask now as well.
I think the thing that ruined it was, who was it? It was one real, a famous coach that said it doesn't stimulate altitude, and this was the whole thing. And there's because they said it was an altitude training mask. Oh, it was Elevation Mask is the brand, so it doesn't simulate elevation. But then if you read all the Patrick McCohen stuff, yeah, he talks about elevation training because you're simulating not what it would be like to be at altitude, but the effects that would have on your intake.
Yeah.
And when I started using it, I got one, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get on this, because even if it doesn't do what it says it does, it still makes breathing more difficult, which is going to improve your fitness. And I misused it as a tool. I wasn't doing any drills. I was just doing some of my cardio work with it on.
Yeah.
But the thing that got me that Rose said is there's a lot of these devices that are in the mouth, like AeroFit and stuff, and become very popular in training tools. And again, I'm sure there's a use for the tool. But when she said, and I was kind of like, oh, she's probably just shitting on that because it's not their product. And then she went, no, they're encouraging mouth breathing. I'm like, that's the problem. Yeah. And that's the thing. So a lot of the devices that, like, again, probably have a very good use for them if they're used properly. But I think the nasal breathing thing was...
It's good. I mean, it's a very simple one as well. Like, anybody who does any sort of breathing drills, if you meditate, like, all you got to do is hold your breath.
Mm.
Hold your breath and count. If you're able to find time to meditate, you can find another couple of minutes for that. Like, it's so simple. You don't have to do anything. But the thing that ruined the altitude mask for me was one of the gyms here. I saw this guy would pick up a punch bag on his shoulder.
And that was probably me.
Run around the gym. No, it was a very overweight guy. And I was like, there's loads of small wins for him.
Yeah.
Before he needs to put that altitude mask and pick up that heaviest thing in the gym and just sprint around.
Yeah.
But maybe he knew what he was doing. I never spoke to him. I never gave him the opportunity to explain. I just, across the gym, I went, whatever. So, you know, you get, I think as you just age, you learn to just, you spend more time learning stuff, and then eventually you have more data to make better informed decisions.
Yeah, the more you know, the less you know.
Yeah, I thought of that earlier on, but one of the things you were saying, that Dunning-Kruger thing. When you learn a little bit, you think you're an expert, and then all of a sudden you realize you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, because the less you know, there's less things that, or the less you know, there's more things that you don't actually know that you don't know. Yeah,
yeah, you don't know what you don't know. That's it. And that's so important to remember. And like, this is one of the reasons why I came here today. I was like, look, I haven't done a CrossFit class in however long.
Mm.
Let me just give it a go. It'll be a bit of fun. It's an opportunity. Just take it and just get data.
Yeah.
If I don't like it, I don't like it. But I actually did like it.
Yeah, I said to you earlier as well, we're probably not the most CrossFit... Well, the program that you did today, we're probably not the most CrossFit gym in the world as well, which I think is a selling point for us. Is there's some gyms that do CrossFit really, 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 really well, in Dubai even. And I think if you want the full CrossFit experience, you could probably get a more CrossFit experience than what we do.
So but what would that be like?
I just think there's a lot of a typical... And we do this... So we've got two programs. We've got our base, which is our general health and wellness, and we've got Rise, which is more of a competitive program. I think CrossFit is a a typical CrossFit would have a strength piece and then a conditioning piece. The strength piece would usually be a barbell or a skill development piece, so working on gymnastics technique or some sort of barbell lifting piece, and then into three rounds for time or a 10-minute AMRAP of probably a barbell movement or a weightlifting movement, a gymnastics movement, and then a conditioning movement is your stereotypical CrossFit. And we do some of that stuff in sessions still a lot, but I think there's, for our audience, there's more benefit to be had from doing like the longer, so this wasn't slower stuff, but it was more spread out, more endurance based, longer cardio stuff, and then strength training, building more muscle, developing more strength versus trying to do stuff really fast and do stuff incorrectly. So we put an emphasis on, it's funny though, because a lot of the guys just want to train hard. So our constant battle as a gym is trying to give people the right dose of fitness and strength and skill exposure that they want and need to develop and learn the sport of fitness without giving them the opportunity to trash themselves, and then trying to pump the brakes for people by putting days into program that's just strength days. And this is a problem that's been in CrossFit forever, because people get the taste and they just want to smash themselves all the time. And I remember listening to stuff before, it was even like a video, I think, must be around 2010, so before, when I was doing research to go and start doing my CrossFit courses, and a guy was saying this, like, oh, we have to disguise strength work in today, so we put it in workout so they get an exposure to strength training, because everyone skips a strength day. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why do people skip strength day? That's like the most fun part of it. And the more I realize now is the days that have no barbell in it, or there's no heavy lifting in it, if it's just there's no hard metcon in there, they're the quieter days, and people don't turn up for those days as well. And that's the general population stuff. And
we have the same with us.
Really?
So we have sort of like strength. I mean, we do circuits, so it's dumbbells, kettlebells, medicine balls. It's no barbell. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, strength day. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, power cardio day.
Cool.
Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, packed.
Yep.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, Friday's packed, it's weekend. Monday, Wednesday are the people who couldn't fit in the other classes.
Okay.
People just don't like that heart rate skyrocketing. Okay. Now they want the rest. They want those extra 15-20 second rest to do the strength stuff.
Yeah.
I think people enjoy like feeling, I think they might be just making a little bit more progress intrinsically with the strength stuff.
Really?
Like it's a bit more, it was sixes last week and now it's sevens this week.
Yeah. And I'm saying the opposite for our guys. Our guys like the sweatier ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we get, today was quite, so Ronan's been quiet for Ramadan, but on a day like today, so we do one workout a week, which we call Terrible Tuesday. Today it happened on a Wednesday, and it's the harder work.
That was Terrible Tuesday.
On a Wednesday, yeah. And it's,
that wasn't that terrible.
I wrote this. You wouldn't have seen it, but I wrote on the thing, it's like, this is not the hardest Terrible Tuesday you'll ever do, unless you really, really push yourself. And if you like crank out a bunch of reps, and I said to you before, the guys who get competitive were probably absolutely wrecked after this. But we do that one day, and that's always a busy day. Whereas tomorrow is some overhead strength work and then accessory work, so just pure strength day. I guarantee it won't be as busy as it was today.
Really?
So people will come for this one more than tomorrow.
I mean, to be honest, when we were chatting last week about it, I wanted to do a CrossFit version of whatever you guys put on the board. The barbell strength stuff, like I can get close to that myself. I won't get the intensities you would in an hour, but I was like, give me the box jump burpee over the bar, whatever you guys do. That was, I probably wasn't 100%, but that wasn't that.
Yeah.
Like that was a monotonous one, which I'm fine with.
But the thing is, you're a marathon runner, right? Yeah. Or you train for a marathon. Yeah. So that's right up your street, long, slow fitness stuff.
Yeah, just get in your head. It's like, that was the first couple of, whatever it is, 60 seconds, I did this many of the burpees. Mm. So every minute, that's just what I have to do. It doesn't matter what the clock says. Yeah. I need to hit that number. Same on the row. This is how many strokes. Okay, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I didn't count the run thing. But I'm just like, meh. Yeah, this allows me now drift off, look out the window, see the people walking past with their shopping. Oh, what's that person doing? I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's task. Like for me, marathon running is just, it's the there's two easy things. There's sitting down doing nothing, there's walking, and then there's running.
Mm.
Those are the easiest things. There's no skill needed, there's no technical thing. After that, you can fix your time and get technical. So with run, when you suffer, it's just put the other foot forward. Don't quit. That's the argument I have in my head for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I can live with that.
I think, so when I write a workout like this, for example, is in, half the battle is trying to make it enjoyable and entertaining, and people want to, we want people to want to come and do it. So if you write something up, like if you went to a different gym, there's probably more creative ways we could write. We wanted, what was that, 30 minutes of continual cardio work today with 30 second breaks in between. That was the target, that's what we wanted. We just used three different stations. We could have put six different stations in, so you only had to do each station five times. But then the simpler way, if it's the same, like you said, if it's, you don't have to think about it, you can concentrate on pushing yourself harder, versus if it's like there was six different stations, you've got to adapt which muscles you're using to different movements, think about the techniques for different movements. And if we only use three different movements, but we do that 10 times, then the repetitiveness is A, it's simple so you can push harder, but B is there's a mental test in there as well, because it's very easy to get bored.
Yeah.
And I think it's boring, but it works. And the easier, the simpler something is, the more effective it's going to be. If you make something too complex, you've got to think too hard about it, there's more work. But then if people aren't that into it, if people aren't disciplined enough to come in and push themselves hard, they're coming and go, oh, this is boring, I'm doing this again for another six rounds, you're not going to get as much out of it, which I think is mentally challenging as well as physically.
Yeah, and what's your coach's name?
Asha.
She did a very good job at the very beginning, because she managed that people's expectations immediately. She said, this is going to be a mental one. So you can just bind this, work it on the board and just say, right, this is what it is, and explain the movements. And it looks a little bit lazy from the coach's perspective.
100%.
But what she's done by discussing it is like, this is the intention behind this, is that your mental fortitude is going to be tested.
Yeah.
So this is why this is what it is. And once you can connect the why and the, you know, you can now go, okay, so this is actually going to be boring.
Mm.
But now I'm going to tell, how am I in a boring engagement?
Yeah, for sure.
And I thought that was real good. I was like, yeah, that's very, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And it's just like, and again, I was like, this will be easy for me. I won't beast myself, but I'm going to, whatever reps I hit on this one, and this one, I want to make sure I hit all of them.
Yeah.
Till the end.
For sure. I think that's one of my like MOs as well, is boring is like, program is boring. Like I like boring stuff for that reason.
Yeah.
I said it's easier. The simpler it is, the harder you can push, and the more mentally challenging it is. And I think coaches that do try and get that stimulus, most people probably would have hit the intended stimulus for that workout today. If it was super complex and there was a lot of different moving pieces and there was all these different, which is what you'd see in CrossFit gyms that do programming poorly, to try and hit that stimulus, but it'd be like loads of like fast moving barbell stuff or loads of like double unders, and then everyone keeps tripping, so you're not getting any work out of it. As we do, so we've got Terrible Tuesdays is one, and then we do FYF on a Friday, which is Fuck You Fridays. Yeah, which is even more simple, more monotonous. Literally just you're biking, you're burping, or you're running, or you're rowing, and it's just like pure fitness. So usually it's team stuff, so we're trying to create camaraderie and environment and motivation in the group, and we do that on a Friday. And again, it's same thing, just simple, hard fitness. Harder, the simpler it is, the harder you can push, and that's how you create that whole mental fortitude, A, but B, physical improvements in fitness, because you can push a lot harder and get that adaptation.
And don't forget that there's, what was there, 8 in that class, so you have 8 people per class, you've got 24, 30 people, 40 people a day.
Yeah.
Of those 40 people, a percentage of them need a chilled out session.
Yeah, for sure.
They need a session where they can actually go hide.
Yeah.
You know, they need, okay, this is actually easy. I'll be able to go like third gear here.
100%.
And just get through this.
Yeah. Because
I'm feeling under the weather. I'm glad I came. I'm so glad there's no barbells today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those people arrive all the time.
For sure.
And it's so important to their longevity that, let me go in, it might be an easier session today, or it's a boring, monotonous session, but I can go at 40%.
Yeah.
Come out feeling great. That's really important for people.
Yeah. Do you hear that, guys? That's important. Easy days are important as well.
Because you want to be training in 6 months' time still.
Oh, man. This is kind of what I was coming back to earlier about saying our guys get really, they don't do the easy days. They want to come in when it's like smash yourself into a wall days and they're more popular. Is that something that's changed as me as I've gotten older? Is like, I would much rather, there's as much, if not more, benefit to be had from an easier day than a hard day of training. Yeah. And you can't operate at 100% all the time, and you need to be sub-maximal to be able to grow and be able to recover from that, to be able to last long enough, to train long enough to get the results.
Yeah, and like there's other benefits to actually programming in chilled out days.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, enjoy it,
yeah,
get the fun back in it.
Yeah.
Like, partner up with the competitive guy, but like, you know, throw tennis balls at each other in the middle of it, you know, just have a bit of fun. And because that will also now mean you're more hungry for Fuck You Thursday, whatever, Fuck You Friday,
yeah,
you know, because Thursday was, okay, I'm not coming into Fuck You Friday broken, busted. Yep. You know, it's like, and all that comes from, like, that science is done. Sports where you have to peak on a weekend, you know, you can't train your hardest on the Friday before a Saturday game.
For sure.
You have to put the brakes on.
Exactly.
And then in a training session, you got two training sessions during the week. You're going to do mainly drills.
Yeah.
You're going to do a little bit of fitness at the end, and then you're going to do some technical stuff and then strategy for the opposition. And then on the Saturday, you need to go 100% only on the Saturday.
Yeah.
You don't show up on the Monday. I mean, probably like Ronaldo does and Messi, you know, they're just on this next different universe, a different planet. But for the majority of people who want long careers, you need to just focus on, I want to peak for this day, I want to peak for this month, and I want to peak for that Olympics in 4 years' time. So I got to stretch it out. I got to make sure I'm pushing all the energy systems, and the recovery system is the most important. So I need to actually develop the recovery system. I need to get that recovery system down from 1 week to 12 hours.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, for sure. You do, so you guys do group, and you do a lot more individual and small group. What do you prefer from a training prescription?
I think ultimately, if you, in the long term, like over a year or 2 years, you need a bit of everything.
Okay.
Do you know, you need to cycle people through. And this is where CrossFit actually comes in the global fitness service providing perspective. Like we have, someone comes in off the street. Typically the people who come to me are the people who've not been doing anything for years or 6 months or whatever. So they've no level of fitness. So we need to pack their foundation, fix the back pain. That's like a couple of weeks and it's way better. I feel amazing. Yeah. So great. Oh, thank you. it was just you actually doing something, and you needed to just have a little bit of faith in me that we'd get there. So here we are. It's 6 weeks in. Your back pain is gone. Now we'll do some strength stuff, but you keep telling me you want to lose weight.
Okay.
And we're not in an hour of a PT session. Like, I'm not just going to stand and beast you. Because that's a very expensive way to do something that can be done in our circuit class for cheaper. So why don't we do this? Why don't we swap it? You go to do three or four circuit classes a week, and we'll do some little strength sessions just to make sure that shoulder doesn't flare up, and you can talk to me through the classes. What are you feeling? I can't do push-ups. All right, let's do some strength stuff. Build your core, build your push-up, blah, blah, blah. So we kind of flip in and out of it. I actually enjoy doing the circuit. Chris does all the programming for the circuit, so that's so easy. I show up, I take my phone out, the workout is done, I just write it on the board. I cannot stress how amazing it is that he's written from July to today, however many months that is, of programs where you're just in a square with kettlebells, a dumbbell, and a medicine ball. I can't believe he's thought of these exercises. And it's new, it's invigorating, there's animal movements, it's so good from his perspective. And also he's got these weird pogo jumps in, and my geek brain is like, that's amazing, ankle Achilles conditioning, these people don't know what they're getting.
Yeah.
Like for that, they're getting these shoulder openers, these crab rotations. I'm like, these people, this is amazing. So I, one-on-one nowadays, unless it's a, like a complex trauma or somebody who's really in need, I don't really want to be spending an hour of my time, well, I don't know if I should say this, but an hour of my time putting muscles on skinny guys.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Like, I know what you mean though.
I don't really want to be doing that, because
your expertise is more useful, but your time's better used in different areas than that.
Yeah. And I feel like you can do this yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do this yourself. You just need to show up to the right environment, you know, and you're not, obviously, you haven't found your home. And with me in the gym, we'll get you so far. But I actually only have, like, if you took my programming, my style of training would probably only take someone 2.5-3 years. And then I'm just going back to my old routine, my old cycle. I don't have the next step. So this person probably needs to shoot off and do another coach, get a whole new stimulus.
That's cool. That's a good, I don't think my timeline would be that long. I think I'm much more of you is like, I would want to get into a training relationship with someone with the thought of them being able to, not as quickly as possible, but pretty quickly progress onto what they want to be doing. I don't see why someone would want to do PT every day for the sake of doing PT. I think it'd be fix their problems, get them onto the next step, what they want to be able to do on their own or whatever, and not having, and that may be, like you said, touching in with their coach once a week or something to keep some contact time. But you don't want people to be dependent on you and then get to the point where it's just like, oh, I can only train if I'm training with Keith or whatever.
Yeah. And I just think there is people out there who do like the accountability.
For sure.
And they do like that hour of their day. The kids are not here. their husband or their wife is not on their back for stuff. So this is like their time, and I get that. I can work with that. But when they're just like, I'm not putting on any more muscle. I've got the fat's come down, the muscle's gone up, but like I want to be jacked. I'm like, all right, what did you do at the weekend? Well, we went out, we sat in that Turkish restaurant smoking shisha until 2 a.m. I was like, well, that can't happen.
Yeah.
We can't be both.
Yeah.
And then I just don't have the next bit to help that person.
And what's the training in the gym, the hour you do with them versus if you're doing 3 sessions a week versus the other 23 hours of the day, how do you, so the accountability is really important, but right now we're looking at ways we can, our big drive internally, our development now is trying to look at how we impact the outside the gym stuff, because the programming and our training, we've kind of like, it can always get better, we can always work on improving it, but we're at a point where it's like, this is not going to be the change. Making our training better is not going to make the difference to people's lives. We're looking at now, cool, how do we keep them accountable, like I said, make sure that they understand when you're going out on a weekend, that's having an impact on your training. Or, and again, not macro prescription, but making sure they are sticking to some sort of structure with their fueling, and how they're recovering, what's their sleep habits like, and all that stuff. Do you guys do much of that? Or how important do you think that is for your guys?
Yeah, so taking what you said at the beginning, what can we do to make people, to give added value so that the outside the gym stuff is more sort of rewarding from a lifestyle changing perspective. So what I say to people is, and this has come just out of, you come to me with a real chronic knee pain,
yeah,
like really bad. We could be talking about your knee for 6 months,
yeah,
right? That's going to be killer. You're just going to embed this idea on that person that this knee is never getting better. So what I need from this person is, like, listen, what is the scary goal in your the back of your head that you think you can't do? Like, what is it? You want to climb a mountain? You want to run a marathon? Like, you want to go back playing tennis? I don't really know. Like, because here's what I need. I need to talk to you about the day you're going to be back playing tennis, and the knee is a tiny part of it.
Yeah.
So I need you out of bed at 6 a.m. because we're going to start at 6:30. So I need you to not think, well, that alarm is going off, I've got to go fix my knee again. I'm so worthless. I'm crap. I hate myself. I hate my knee. Why did this happen? I need you to think, I need to get out of bed because I want to play tennis. I'm playing tennis in 2 years. Like, I'm going to book onto that tournament, whatever. So we're talking about the massive goal. And say tennis. For some people, tennis is not a massive goal, but for some people, it is.
Yeah.
Like, we have 20 people climbing Kilimanjaro in October this year that, like, when we decided to do this in November, they were not ready.
Okay.
They are not fit enough to get up Kilimanjaro. So we've thrown it at them. And these people, 5 or 6 people have taken, there's 20 of them, but 5 or 6 of them have taken this on board and gone,
we have to do
this. I'm going to do this. Yeah. So now every single day, you're not exercising, you're not eating better, you're not sleeping better, so that when you come in on the Thursday, the scales has 0.5 kilo down and 0.5 kilo muscle mass up. That's not the thing.
Yep.
It's because we're going to Kilimanjaro and you are going to be struggling for that summit day in the freezing cold at 5 past midnight, waiting for the sun to come up for 6 hours. Like, you're going to be in hell on that day. So this is what we're doing. So that's, and I'd speak to people like that from the sense of, like, that's a massive thing. But there's other people who just an overweight person who is worried about joining us for one of our hikes.
Yeah.
Because, oh, I don't want to be at the back. Okay, cool. So get fit.
Yeah.
Get fit. Lose the weight. Like, let's do this on the side. Me and you will have this chat. We'll figure it out. We'll plan it so that when we go after the summer, September, you're there. You're up the front. Do you know? That's the massive goal for that person. Whereas there's people who will just do a hike every weekend. Do you know?
Yeah.
So for me, that's it. That's what I try and do, is try and get people way out of their comfort zone. So it's just, it's weighing on them. And then, because I really believe that people are capable of that.
Yeah.
As long as we manage their expectations correctly. Like, you're not doing it next week.
No.
This might be 2 years.
Yeah.
But in 2 years, you're going to do it. I'm going to make you do it.
Yeah. Like, I think that's really cool. Is 2 things that I've just taken out of that is the realistic goal, and say it's going to take you 2 years. And we get people coming at time. It's just like, well, I want to lose 10 kilos in 3 months. It's like, well, let's be more realistic than that. And the other thing, well, is having a very motivating goal and having a mindset around that. I think that's really cool to switch the, rather than focusing on fixing the knee, is focusing on getting back to playing tennis. That's really cool.
Yeah, because there needs to be, and I developed this purely from me hating the conversation with the client. And this is why I don't like nutrition, and this is why I've stayed away. I can't bear to be the food police.
Okay.
What did you eat yesterday? What did you... Someone else can do that.
Right.
I'm not doing that. We're going to talk about the need, the goals, whatever, your week, whatever. Whatever less pedantic and also completely unbased in weird nutrition science. But I didn't like those conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm like, right, what do you want to do? And it can be someone as simple as like someone who's quite overweight who's never done a pull-up. Well, we're just going to work towards pull-ups. They can't even hang, you know? Okay, fine. But like in the second session, I'm going to get you with your hands on the bar and your toes just on the tiptoes of a box. And you're going to breathe 20 times and that's it. And why are we doing that? Because you're going to do pull-up. Do you know? So they think already they're on a path to this thing they never will achieve. And then we do all the other stuff, hanging, leg raises, blah, blah, blah. I need to just get your shoulder robust enough to hang. I'll explain, this is why we're doing it. We're still way, way, way away from one pull-up.
Yeah.
And they may never get it, but they are coming to the gym not because they're overweight and they want to lose some kilos. And this is always the chat. It's like, right, pull-up time, shoulder strength time. You know, and that builds in and out the back of that. It's like when you're, I don't know if you played any sport, you know, and the coaches used to go, right, guys, here's a ball. And then you're just playing hidden fitness. Mm. You know, it's like once you score a try, run all the way to the far end of the 6 rugby pitches and run back. You know, so you're having a great time with your mates and then you score a try, right, go. You're like, oh, God, you know, and you're going to run 6 lengths of 6 pitches and back. And then the other player from the other team is doing the same, you know, and it's that's not the primary thing.
Right,
but it's happening in the shadows, do you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a much more enjoyable way. And then they think, like, I've got people who, 2 girls last night, I gave them a little wristband. So we have these, I don't have one on. We have these, you know the Live Strong bands?
Yeah.
I mean, you could maybe do this as well with your guys. We have an orange one that says the physical training company on it. They give it to people. I'm like, right, put that on. Here you go, it's a present. And okay, this is not just a wristband. And they're like, what are you talking about? Right, this is a reminder of your goals, right? This is a thing that's going to be on your wrist, on your gear stick, on your mirror in your car, on your door handle as you leave the place. And every day you look at it, it's not a wristband. It's a reminder of, like, keep your room tidy, you know, keep in line with your goal. Go a little bit weird if you want, but, like, that's still there. That's what that is. Put that somewhere where you look at it and you go, okay. And I had a guy, the story next is, there was a guy who's a cyclist. He's a cancer patient, recovered from that. Loves his cycling in Al Qudra, wanted to run 10K. We all decided we'd do standard charter. I pushed a load of people into this. I made them book it. One of the girls dropped out. Of maybe 9 people, 8 of us did it. 5 of them never done it before. They've never done it since. But this one guy, his goal was to run 10K, and it was to do it in under an hour.
Okay.
Right? And he was really unprepared for it coming into it. Fit enough from his cycling, but not running fit. And he said that twice on the track, he wanted to stop. And he looked at his wrist and he's like, oh no. He's like, he's going to bollocks me if I stop. I better not stop. Just don't stop. Just don't stop. He ran all the way to the end. He finished in 59:57.
Oh, beautiful.
And the best thing for him is he never has to do it again.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, I did it. I ticked it. I never have to do it again. And all that was just a tiny little reminder. So that's another thing I give people. It's just like, this is in your life when I'm not there. And my point is, 2 girls, yes, they went to an iftar and they both sent me a photograph of their wrist.
Nice.
And they said, I woke up to the message this morning, they said they didn't eat that much.
Nice.
Because of this thing. Because I gave it to them yesterday.
Okay.
Before they went, I was like, right. Because they moved their sessions. Like, you're going to an iftar? Okay, what are you going to eat? Because they've already done a couple of iftars this year.
Right.
I was like, right, come here for a second. You're going to put this on your wrist. And when you're eating your iftar, I want you to put the brakes on. Don't go wild. Have your iftar. Do what you need to do, but like, see if this works.
And that's really cool.
And they said, yeah. They the message said they didn't go too crazy.
Good work, guys.
Whether they did or not, I don't know. But at least it was, they had it on their wrist. I saw the empty plate.
Well, if whether they did or didn't, and they've lied to you, at least you're front of mind, and you know that they are thinking about their training and their health. And
whatever. 10 past 11 last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still there. So, I think there's just more fun ways to do it than sending people accountability WhatsApps. You know, show me your food. Show me your thing. Some people do that and it works. Because again, like we said a few minutes ago, what works for one person won't work for the other person.
Yeah.
And you need to be the pushy military style coach with a group. And you need to be the real empathetic, sit down, have a coffee and like put your arm around someone else. so yeah, we just have all these little weird things.
Yeah, I think playing, trying to turn like make fitness and health not a chore and include some sort of like play and make it fun and enjoyable is way more conducive to people to commit into it for longer. And I think that's kind of like why, and it gets misinterpreted, but like gamifying CrossFit a little bit with the scoring and stuff and tracking, oh, I've hit a new PB and stuff, that kind of plays into that. But I think even that can be a negative thing for a lot of people that are gonna obsess about the score and the stress, whereas you turn it into like there's no time, there's no anything, it's just play and explore and enjoy that type of thing. And like you said, the rugby thing is playing a sport that people enjoy, but you hide in a couple lengths of fitness in there, so you build in some fitness into their training as well. I think that's a very powerful thing too.
Yeah, because like ultimately once you finish the exercise, there's no drug that gives the same feeling as like a good workout, right? Just that running high, that CrossFit high you get at the end. So really what you want is you want to get people across the finish line just to feel that.
Yeah.
And what you're selling when somebody walks in off the street is you're selling discomfort, you're selling their vulnerability, like you're capitalizing on their I'm overweight, I'm unfit, I don't like the way I am, and I'm asking you now to hand over some of your hard-earned money for that. Do you know, so there's all these things that it's we're selling an awful product. Do you know, like it's not great, it's your heart rate is up, your muscles are burning, it's painful. So how do we make that inviting for people?
Yeah.
Well, you got to build a community around it. You got to have them look across the room and see someone else absolutely struggling. So I'm not the only one in this. I'm working hard. You're working hard. We're in this together. And then when it's done, okay, how's everyone feel? I feel amazing. Yeah. Okay, good. Right. Go to work. Make some good decisions. I'll see you all here tomorrow or the next day. Do you know? As opposed to just beasting people and having people go, this is exactly what I didn't want it to be.
Yeah,
there's no fun in this.
Yeah,
nobody talks to me when I come into the gym. I feel like an outsider. I'm not coming back to this gym. Yeah. You know? So,
man, well, I think we'll wrap that up. That's pushing on now. I think that's
really cool.
A good run. That was really cool, man. That was powerful. That was some really good tips, stuff that I'll take away from that, and I'm sure people will find that really helpful. Where can people go to find more about you guys?
Instagram, Keith. O'Malley Farrell.
You, and by the way, Keith's got the sickest dog.
Yeah, he's Teddy. He's a Chow Chow. Yeah.
Oh my God, gorgeous.
He's a rescue. I got lucky.
Go to Keith's Instagram just for that, if nothing else.
Oh, I might have to put a picture up then today.
And training room.
Yeah, training room. TTR.au. It's just a circuit class. Like, I think what were you going to say real quick? We would eventually with our circuit classes and with any circuit classes, Barry's what we do. Eventually, people are going to get so fit, so strong that they need the next step of metabolic conditioning. And that is what CrossFit, in my view, should like ultimately find its place in the fitness community. Like Tracy, your client, Tracy, she used to come to us.
All right.
We couldn't give her what she needed because she's a beast.
Yeah.
I see her name on the board out there.
Yeah.
Well, I see the word Tracy. I assume it's her.
Mm.
Like the stuff that we were doing is not enough for her.
Mm.
So she needed to find what she needed to find. So I think that's where like the circuit classes are great, camaraderie, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately people will fitness out.
Well, you're making them very fit because she came in with a set of lungs on already. So
she's a beast. Yeah. I don't think we did that. I don't know where she was before.
Maybe just Irish people.
Maybe just her.
Yeah. But Cara as well. Both of them.
Cara's a beast. Cara's a different human. Yeah. I don't know what she's made of.
No, me with potatoes. go Funkeep. I'll put all the links in the description and all that stuff. But yeah, man, thanks for that. It was awesome.
Cheers. Yeah, thank you.
What day is it today? Wednesday. No, it'd be Thursday when we drop this. Have an amazing weekend. See you later, guys.